Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Dustin Hawkinsmith, Jim Galante here, subbing in for Greg Pickle. It is National Signing Day. We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue. Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Greg Pickle will be joining us a little bit later in the show to help us break down what we've seen so far today. The first of two National Signing Days, the NCAA's early signing period, is open right now. And as of now, as we're sitting here, 13 out of Penn State's 17 commitments have signed, making them official members of the 2019 recruiting class. So we're going to make our way through the show, update you on any new signatures that come in. We don't really expect any more surprises on the stretch. There's a big uncommitted prospect out there still, Noah Kane, who we will update you on as soon as he makes his announcement. John Dunmore, the wide receiver, we're expecting and hoping, I believe, an official signing is coming. So, Jimmy, not a lot of surprises so far, but I think it's good and refreshing to see Penn State getting to the finish line with all these guys.
With the class they have, Dustin, if they just bring in who they have committed, it's a very good class.
It's a class that, you know, we were just talking about in terms of average player rating, right now is the highest rated class that James Franklin has had. And that includes last year's class, just by hair, over the 2018 class.
Well, I think that's an inherent problem with, we typically use the 24/7 composite ranking, and they put such an emphasis on the number of guys who have signed as opposed to the quality of the players. Now, in the show with Ross and Andy and Bob, we have this discussion all the time, and they know that's one of my pet peeves. So last I looked, average star rating, Penn State is fourth, much better than their 12th or 13th overall ranking. And I think that's the more important one. Let's get quality.
So here's a good example of that. Michigan right now average is number seven nationally, 27 commits to Penn State 17. So I think you do need to add some context. And then here's the other thing, and we'll get through to some of the key talking points. But the other thing is, this class had geographical challenges that I don't really know that any other James Franklin class has had so far. And I think sometimes that point gets lost. The fact that Pennsylvania, it was a down year in the state, really kind of a down year. There's not much. I don't think they got a player from Maryland in this class. I don't think they got a player from D.C. in this class. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
You are not wrong.
The immediate area, what about – there's a couple from New Jersey maybe, right?
Yep, I've got two out of Jersey, three out of Pennsylvania, and three out of Virginia. Very important there.
So this is, I think, really the third class in a row where Penn State has pulled not just – good talent out of Virginia, but elite talent out of Virginia. Yetur Gross-Matos in 2017. Ricky Slade last season. I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody else. But then Brandon Smith and Devin Ford so far in this class. They went up to Connecticut. You know, New England is always in Penn State's plans. And a lot of the time, if they want a prospect from New England, they can get a prospect from New England. Pat Freiermuth was a good example of that. Connecticut with a couple elite players there. So they've gone not necessarily down roads that they've never been down before, but certainly they're looking to go more national. Adding Jawan Sider has paid dividends, we believe, so far with John Dunmore, and I think there's a decent chance that Noah Kane from IMG Academy announces. So those pathways all help, and what it did was, you know, you're diverse in the way that you can recruit,
and that's helpful. And I think what you need to do, protect your own region. You know, this is not Florida, it's not Texas, it's not California. But if you combine the state of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, New England, Maryland, and Virginia, and consider that Penn State's home turf, that's not a bad recruiting territory. And James Franklin, as you pointed out, what they're doing in Virginia year after year, exceptional. And that's where they're getting the elite players. Expanding a little bit into Florida, that's not a bad idea. Yeah. Either.
And it's not just a pipe dream now. I think I think every coach wants to come in and be like, you know what, we want to be a factor in Florida. They've got the ability to actually do that now, and I think you're just starting to see that. John Dunmore, we're still waiting, as we mentioned, for a signature. Greg Pickle had a relative of John Dunmore message him and say that John had signed his national letter of intent. He's one of four that Penn State has not announced yet. And
we should point out, Dustin, we're recording this Wednesday morning. So if you're listening to this at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or 7 p.m. Wednesday,
yeah,
you're ahead of us.
So as of Wednesday morning, around 11 a.m., John Dunmore has not been announced yet. But, you know, Penn State has – there can be long delays between when a kid signs, faxes, emails, whatever they're doing with their letter, and Penn State announcing it. Greg had a relative say that John had signed, and we'll wait to hear from that. Miami was pushing hard late. There was also a report or two out there that John had signed his letter of intent. So this looks like Penn State's in pretty good shape, and it's important because he's the only wide receiver in the class right now.
Right. And what it also, though, indicates, Dustin, is when you go out of your home turf, that's always a risk. You know, they're not as likely to lose the Pennsylvania, New Jersey, right, Virginia kid who probably grew up being the Penn State fan versus the kid in Florida who's going to have all his buddies who are going to Miami whispering in his ear, why not the Canes? So that is the danger. You want to get into Florida, but that's the risk you run going out of your own turf.
And Penn State has some experience with this, and we'll use it as a nice segue. It's a Keystone Kickoff Show, by the way, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Giving you the best deal of the season, purchase a gift card or credit with GoPSURV.com. We will double its value. It's like getting your next RV rental for 50% off. Contact us today for more details. 1-800-519-8467. That offer ends December 31st.
Speaking of GoPSURV, as someone who has enjoyed it all season long,
sure,
the best line was yours, Dustin. It's like tailgating all weekend and interrupted by a football game. I love that because that describes it perfectly.
That's how it is, you know, and for me and for a lot of people, that's the most important part of the weekend. I don't care, you know, I mean, you go up there with your buddies and stuff and, you know, you don't have Penn State's restrictions. You can do, you know, they've got the big screen TV and stuff. I got to enjoy it for the Maryland game, even though it was rainy. So, yeah, that's the best part of the weekend. As I mentioned, Penn State has some experience with this. John Dunmore, it was thought to be Florida State was the big threat. Then Florida State, I don't know whether it's because Florida State was just simply awful this year or whether things they just went their separate ways. But Miami emerged really to try to keep a Florida kid in the state of Florida, which is the essence of the threat you described. Justin Fields was the exact same way in the 2018 class. Committed to Penn State for a long time, but at the end of the day, the dream of playing at Georgia, his sister's playing softball at Georgia, it was going to be hard to get a Georgia kid out of there. And when push came to shove, as the days went on, and I think it was the summertime, he ended up decommitting and flipping to Georgia. Now it looks a little dicey because Jake Fromm was a freshman when Justin Fields committed and signed. I guess the hope was that you beat out Jake Fromm and you win the starting job by a sophomore season. That did not happen. Doesn't look like it was going to happen. So now Justin Fields is officially transferring. There was a report from, I think, the Toledo Blade saying that Ohio State was the favorite for Justin Fields. Some people speculating whether Penn State would get back in the mix. You saw some kids on the current team tweeting at Justin Fields, asking him to get back in the mix. So here's what happened today, which I think says why maybe Penn State didn't want to be linked to this any more than they needed to be. Speculation is what it is. So Ohio State is rumored to be the lead team for Justin Fields. And then today they had a quarterback commit by the name of Juwan Mathis, number two dual threat in the country. He flipped from Ohio State to Georgia. So what we believe we have here, without it becoming official with Justin Fields, is a trade.
A potential trade. How about that? You know, it's really an interesting story, isn't it? First of all, and we asked this last year when Justin Fields made the switch over to Georgia, does he really expect to beat out a kid who led them to the national championship game? And that kid was a freshman last year with three more years of eligibility. And he's not that kind of quarterback that you see going to the NFL early. So this is potentially a kid Justin Fields would have to sit behind for 3 years. And he should have known that going in. He must have thought he was going to win the job, right? Is there any other explanation?
No, and I think Justin Fields was on the show while he was still on. He was still a Penn State commit. And I think basically the essence of it was, no matter where you're going, you're going to have to compete. And you're going to have to believe that you are going to win the competition. But at the same time, it's one thing that you're going to come in and compete with a junior and a redshirt sophomore, whatever. It's another thing that you're going to be competing with a second-year sophomore who, if you don't win that job outright, you are looking at a pretty murky situation going through the rest of your career. It should have been seen. I agree with that. I'm not in Justin Fields' shoes. I didn't see what he saw or hear what he heard or what have you, but it seemed, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but I think we all had that hindsight.
But, well, and let's now turn this and look at Penn State's quarterback room and the effect here. First of all, Tommy Stevens, if he were your kid, Ross Tucker, our buddy Ross, said, if he were my kid, I would have told him to transfer.
Yeah.
Because there's no doubt he was going to have to sit another year behind Trace. But if you look at Penn State's quarterback room, it's in very good shape, and it seems like the players that are here to stay. And there's a transition it'll go from Tommy Stevens to Sean Clifford. The next question will be in about, 4 years when is it Will Levis or the two recruits that are signing today? And give a lot of credit to James Franklin for keeping all those quarterbacks happy. It's fascinating. The two most highly ranked quarterbacks that committed to James Franklin are Brandon Wimbush, who was benched at Notre Dame, and Justin Fields going to Georgia and now transferring. Fascinating, I think.
It's almost as if to say, going with three and low four stars or high four star, whoever fits your scheme that is really committed to your program is the way to go. And Penn State has just really good mixture of, you know, Will Levis is a three star, Sean Clifford a four star. They've got good quarterbacks there.
If you're James Franklin, would you want Justin Fields to transfer in?
I would not want to disrupt what's in the quarterback room now or jeopardize either of these 2019 commits. I wouldn't want to be connected to that at all.
I agree.
So we're going to break down the class a little bit further. That was news, and Greg's going to join us a little bit later to talk some more about the class, but our thoughts are coming up now. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.